get them ready. And I want you to put your finger in John chapter 11 and then Romans chapter 1. John chapter 11 and Romans chapter 1. And we'll read the scriptures there in just a moment. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God that we're about to read and the message we're about to hear and that which we've learned in the Sunday school hour. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to apply it to our hearts. And Lord, as we and many in the world will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I just pray you'd help us to realize how important it is to live in that resurrection every day and not just celebrate it once a year, but every day of our lives as a Christian. Father, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their soul today. We pray they'd see their need and understanding of what they need to do in order to be saved, to know they have eternal life. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the book of John chapter 11, there is the story of Lazarus, the death of Lazarus, and his resurrection by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when Jesus went to go see Lazarus and go after Lazarus was dead, he came there, and both Martha and Mary both had said to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And Martha said that to him in verse 21 of 11, and he said, Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now the hope of the resurrection is not new. It's all the way through the Bible. It's not just a New Testament thing. It's all the way through. Job talked about the resurrection. Many other people talked about the resurrection. It's mentioned numerous times throughout the Old Testament. And so Martha here understood about the resurrection. She knew that there was a resurrection at the last day. There was a time when God was going to make an end of all things and an end of all sin, and that there would be a resurrection. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then our verse, which we have up behind us, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not just about an event. It is about a person. Without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no resurrection. There would be no resurrection unto life, I should say. There would only be a resurrection unto death. We'll talk a little more about that later. But the focus of the resurrection is not about a day. It's not about an event. It's about a person. That is why it is imperative that you know Christ as your personal Savior. That you know you are saved. You know you're a child of God. You know your sins are forgiven. And the only one that can, the only way you can know that is through faith in Christ. That's it. He's the only Savior there is. There is no other. And there's no other way to be saved except through Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. And people sit there and him and haw about, well, is Jesus the only way of salvation? Yes, He is. There is no other. In every religion that rejects Jesus as the only Savior is a lie. And will lead people to hell. I don't care how good their morals are. If morality could get you to heaven, Jesus would not have had to die in the first place. And that's the truth of the matter. You must be born again. You must put your faith and trust in Christ. But he also says, not only is he the way, the truth, and life, but he is the resurrection and the life. And I've quoted many verses about the resurrection today. And you know, I quoted in the passage about the resurrection, I quoted also, I mentioned and I talked about the fact, as we were talking today in the Sunday school lesson, I was talking about the fact that His resurrection is the proof positive that He has paid the penalty for sin in full. Because we talked about it, the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Jesus is alive, because He rose from the dead the third day, He conquered sin and death, and if the wages of sin is death, if He were still dead, He'd still be paying the penalty. But it's paid in full. But you know, Romans chapter 1, if you'll turn over to Romans chapter 1, tells us something also. In Romans chapter 1, he says this. He says, we'll start in verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Now, he was already the Son of God before he rose from the dead. But the resurrection is the proof positive that Christ is the Son of God. That's the evidence that God gives to us that He is the Son of God. That's the proof to everybody that Christ is the Son of God, that He is the only Savior, because He is the only one that conquered sin and death. He was declared to be the Son of God. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, right? When Jesus walked the earth, He said that He was the Son of God. The Scriptures said that He was the Son of God. But people denied Him, didn't they? So He proved it. He proved it. In the book of Acts, I'm trying to remember the passage of Scripture. I don't know if it's in Acts chapter 3 or it's another passage in there. But I'm trying to remember, and I may not have it. I may not have it correctly, or Acts chapter 2, I should see. But it may be when Paul was preaching, but he talked about how he gave assurance unto all men by the resurrection of the dead. All right, by raising Him from the dead. I can't remember the exact passage, so I won't try to find it right now. I won't bog things down by doing a search. But the simple fact is, he talked about it. He gave assurance to all men and that He hath raised Him from the dead, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be in Acts chapter 16 where Paul was talking on Mars Hill. I believe it's Acts chapter 16 if I remember. But I may be wrong on that too. It may be 17 or 18. But when Paul was preaching at Mars Hill, he was preaching about the resurrection because some of them mocked, and I believe it was Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 17 is where it was, but this is the thing about it. Christ rose from the dead, and that is the proof positive that He is the Son of God, the Lord of all. No other so-called religious leader has ever risen from the dead, only Jesus. That's it.
Are you looking for Acts 2:31?
Yeah. No, not Acts chapter 2, verse 31. I don't believe so. But anyway, like I said, I'll find that verse later. But anyway, I'll look at that. Like I said, I don't know. I don't want to bog down to that. But when we talk about the resurrection, we talk about this day. We talk about a day where we celebrate, supposedly, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And, of course, it's all about eggs and peeps and bunnies and all that stuff. When I'm talking about peeps, I'm talking about those little nasty marshmallow, sugar-coated marshmallow things and everything like that. There actually, it's a funny thing, there, it's kind of a side thing, there was actually a website once that that talked about all the ways you could destroy Peeps, things to do with Peeps. And it had this one guy on there, and he was burning them and blowing them up and everything else. He said that's all they were good for. I know some people love them. Some people love them, but it's, you know, I think his website was called Peeps Must Die or something like that. I don't know what it was, but you know, we've got so many things that go on about this time, Easter egg hunt. This morning there were sunrise services and all types of things, and there are these things that are done and these special things that are done, but the resurrection is not, like I said, an event. It's not a day. It's a person. And you know, this is the one thing about it, is all the way through our history and the history of man, there's always been a dividing line. And we talk about the dividing line being the saved and the lost, those that believe. And one of the things that they deny when they deny Christ is they deny the resurrection. That's one of the ways to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, is to deny His resurrection. If you go into Matthew chapter 22, verse 23, he talks about this, also repeated, I think, in Mark and Luke. But he said, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. So even in Jesus' day, there were those who denied, not just lost people in the sense of the worst of the worst, the non-religious folks in that regard. And I shouldn't use lost, because lost doesn't, being religious doesn't mean you're not lost. But these people were religious and lost, because they denied the resurrection. They didn't believe there was going to be a resurrection. They denied the resurrection. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 2, they were upset. He said, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They didn't like the fact that they preached that Jesus was the only way of resurrection, that it wasn't something they could do of themselves. Even among the pagans of that day, Acts chapter 17, then certain of the philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. They denied a resurrection in their pagan beliefs. And then when Paul the apostle preached the gospel to them and preached the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection from the dead, they couldn't handle it. And they denied it. And then in Acts 23 and verse 8, the Sadducees are again talking about their unbelief about the Sadducees, a sect of the Jews. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And so that in the pagan and in the Jewish community in the Old Testament, there were deniers of the resurrection. And the Bible specifically speaks of the resurrection of the Messiah in the Psalms, of the Savior. And like I said, in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That he was shown that He was the one that the Old Testament talked about. He proved that He was the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. But we also have another problem that we need to understand when we talk about the resurrection. And that is, a denial of the resurrection has crept in all the way back into the what we would call the, quote, New Testament times. We're still in the New Testament times, by the way. But back in the early days of the church, in those early days, even then, there were those that denied the resurrection. I want you to see something about this. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, 12, he says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were people in Paul's day in Corinth that were denying the resurrection. And then in 2 Timothy 2 in verse 8, he's talking about some false teachers there that were in that church there, in that area. And he said, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. In other words, they're saying, well, the resurrection is the past. There's no future resurrection. You got no hope. So even in so-called Christian churches, there are some groups that deny the resurrection. And if you deny the resurrection, you deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how important it is. I want you to understand something too. That there are two resurrections. When we talk about the resurrections, there are two resurrections. We talk about, we sang the song, A New Name Written Down in Glory. One thing I said, that if there was no Christ, there'd be no resurrection. And clarifying that, I said there would be no resurrection of the just. There'd be no resurrection unto life. There would only be a resurrection unto judgment and death. But there are two resurrections. And one way or another, you will be at one of those resurrections. You better pay attention, because you're going to be there. One of those resurrections, you'll be there. Jesus said in John 5:29, talking about the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And he says, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now the good and the evil here is not talking about men's self-righteousness. It's talking about those who have believed God. Acts 24, verse 15, Paul was preaching, he was defending himself, and he says that he has hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. In Revelation 20 and verse 5, it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That first resurrection is the resurrection of the just, the resurrection unto life. If you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 5, he says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is before the millennial kingdom. And he says in Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That first resurrection he's talking about. That focus of the first resurrection. So he's talking about that resurrection and an understanding of that. But that resurrection is there. But in Revelation 21:8, if we go back to the book of Revelation, to chapter 20, 21 and verse 8, he says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He's warning us that there's a resurrection to damnation. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, this is immediately following the millennial kingdom. He said, and I saw a great white throne, verse Revelation 20:11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a resurrection. These people, when you see it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. He said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's talking about the souls and the bodies of the people that died unbelieving. They died in their sins. They will be resurrected, and they will be judged according to their works, and they will be found wanting. Their names will not be found written in the book of life, and they will be cast body and soul and spirit into the lake of fire for all eternity. That is the resurrection of damnation that was spoken of in Romans, in John chapter 5 and verse 29. The other resurrection is spoken of in the book of, in several places, in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the book of Romans, in several places in the book of Revelation. It's spoken of in the Old Testament. Job looked forward to the day that one day that he, even though the worms ate his flesh, he would stand upon the earth the latter day, and in his flesh his eyes would see God. He said, my eyes will see him, not another. He said, it didn't matter if the worms ate the flesh. He said, I'd stand before God. And so that when we talk about the resurrection, we're actually talking about Christ's authority to not just to save the lost, but condemn those who refused that salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, the Bible says? And there's going to be a day where one day you will be at one resurrection or the other. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you'll be at the resurrection of the just because you'll be justified by faith in Him. If you reject the offer of salvation, if you reject Christ as your Savior, you'll be at the resurrection of damnation. Kind of mentioned it earlier. Either your name will be blotted out of the book of life, or your sins will be blotted out, and your name will be written in the book of life. Your choice. But there will be a resurrection. Everybody that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they're going to come forth. When He calls them forth, they're all coming. Because He's not being declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, did not only declare Him as the rightful Messiah and King and only Savior, but it also declared Him to be the only Judge. If you go with me to John chapter 5, I want you to see something that's very clear in John chapter 5. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And He says this, in John chapter 5, in verse 22, He says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him. And then He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then He talks about, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. He goes on and talks about that. That this is the one thing about it. At the resurrection, you will either stand before your Redeemer or you will stand before your judge. It's your choice. And I'm so glad that in August of 1983, I bowed my knee in my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I called upon Him, believing that He had paid the penalty for my sins and believing He was the only Savior, and I asked Him to save my soul. I knew I deserved to go to hell. I knew I deserved to be in that resurrection of damnation. I knew that there was a day that I would stand before Him, and if I rejected the offer of salvation that Jesus gave me, the one that He had purchased with His own blood, I knew that I would deserve His judgment on that day. And so I called upon Him, and I put my faith and trust in Him, and He saved my soul, and He changed my life. I've said it before, I would not give a second of the time that I've had since I've been saved, since I've been a Christian, a child of God, for all the time that I lived, all the 23 years I lived lost. 23 years and some odd months. Twenty-three and a half years to be precise. I wouldn't give a second of my time saved to gain everything that I had when I was lost. It's not worth it. There's a resurrection, and what that you will be at that resurrection, because Christ is risen from the dead. That proves that He's the Savior, the Redeemer, and it also gives Him authority to be the judge. Because He's the Son of God, and He was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. But you know something about the resurrection? I want to say to you about this, about the resurrection. The resurrection, it gives me things. It doesn't just give me the forgiveness of sins. It gives me so much more. Believing on His resurrection and putting my faith and trust in Him, and believing that He paid the penalty for my sins, my salvation, it's not just a few things. Look at what some of the things the Bible says about that. Luke 4:14, is the parable of he talks about giving to people and talks about giving and to the poor and taking that type of thing. And he says in Luke 4:14, he says, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." 14:14. Luke 14:14. I didn't mean to say 4:14. Luke 14:14. He says, "Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee." Talking about the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. They can't recompense thee, but thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. There's a recompense. There's a reward, isn't there? And then in Matthew 22:30 and Luke 30:35, let me read Luke 20:35. Jesus is talking to these Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection, and they were trying to prove that there was no resurrection through faulty logic. And he says, "But they that shall be accounted worthy." They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So there's a whole new life, isn't there? There's a whole complete change. There's holiness and the things of this world are passed away. And so we look forward to that. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." So we'll be like Jesus, like His resurrection. We die to self, to sin. so that we might be alive to God. But then there's going to be the day when our redemption is going to be complete and we'll have a new body fashioned like unto His glorious body. I don't know about you, but these things ought to excite you.
Amen.
They ought to be something you tell people about. I still love the story. I remember the story of the little boy. Brother Perkins told me this story one time, that they had went to a place where they were holding some services when he was doing evangelism. And he said that they went to this church and there was this kid that was sitting down at the front in a electric wheelchair and everything, and his body was mangled, and he had been horribly mangled by a drunken father and his friends, where they threw the child around and left him there, and he just ruined his body, and his limbs were twisted. And I remember people like Gay St. Clair, who trusted Christ as their Savior, had horribly twisted bodies in those times. But that little boy in this thing, he would talk to people when new people would come up, and he'd ask them if they were saved. And he'd say, "If you're not saved, you're not going to get to see my new body."
Yeah.
For him, it was reality. He was looking forward to it. Young people, I want to tell you something. That body you have right now, it's going to break down. It's going to fall apart. And it might not take 60, 70 years for it to happen. There are little children in wheelchairs today, aren't they? And you're not there, but don't flatter yourself, think that you'll never be there. You better make sure that you have something to look forward to. I want a new body. I don't know about you. I want a new body. And then he talks in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. He talks about the idea of the resurrection and the idea of how you plant a seed. And you don't plant. You know, when you plant a kernel of corn, you don't plant a whole kernel of corn and comes up and it gives you one more kernel, a whole ear of corn, and it comes up and gives you another ear of corn. You plant just one little kernel, right? And that kernel grows and it changes. And while we can't see the resurrection and we can't comprehend it, it says the same thing. It says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Sown in weakness is raised in strength." So we have something to look forward to. And then when we talk about the resurrection, he talks about in Philippians 3:10, he says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." There's power in the resurrection. It's that power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that quickens our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in us. If you read Romans chapter 6, it talks a lot about that. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A lively hope. A living hope, if you will. Power. And a hope that stays with you. That's available. That's unchanging. That never dies. There are times when our hope in some things dies, doesn't it? We hope for something, and then after through circumstance and situation, or maybe the actions of somebody else, or maybe through our own failure, or whatever case, that hope dies. There are things we're hoping for, looking forward to. But this hope never dies. My hope of heaven. My hope of seeing Jesus face to face. My understanding when the Bible talks about a hope, it's not something that you wish would happen. It's something you know will happen. my hope. I've been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he lives, I'll live also. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, he's talking about baptism. He's talking about, he's using that idea, and he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And he's not saying baptism saves you from your sins, because he says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The baptism is a picture. It's a public testimony of you having a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a figure, it's a picture of the death, the burial, the resurrection. It's a testimony. You're saying to the world that just as Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, that you one day will rise from the dead likewise because of him. And that now, because of that resurrection, you've been buried in the likeness of his death and raised to walk in newness of life. That means every day I can get up and serve God. It doesn't matter if I fell flat on my face yesterday, I can get up today and serve the Lord. Amen. I can confess my sins and I can get up and I can serve God. Why? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. Because he's alive forevermore. Because he is my advocate with the Father. Because he ever liveth to make intercession for me. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that's just a fragment of what the Bible says the resurrection of Christ means to you. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, if you deny the resurrection of Christ, there will come a day where you will deny no longer. And you will stand before God. And you will give an account. And you will be condemned. There's only two resurrections. There's a resurrection of the just. Those that are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And there's a resurrection to damnation. And those are those who rejected Christ and depended upon themselves. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Some of them were church-going religious folks. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee went up into the temple. The two men went up into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Right? Extortioners, unjust, even, or even as this publican here. He's comparing himself to somebody else, wasn't he? I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And he said, that Pharisee prayed thus with himself. He wasn't really praying to God. God wasn't paying any attention to him. Why? Because he trusted in himself that he was righteous. He thought, I'm good enough to go to heaven. I'm not bad like everybody else. I'm better than they are. I'm better than that publican. But that publican, he just went up there and he smote upon his breast. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went down to his house justified, and the publican did not. I mean, the Pharisee did not. The religious man did not. Why? Because it's... But we talk about religion, but we need to focus on what the Bible says is true religion. But when we talk about salvation, salvation is not religion. I believe every Christian ought to be religious. People say, well, I'm not religious. It's not religion, it's a relationship. And that's true. But the Bible has something to say about true religion in the Bible. We ought to pay attention to that. But lost people are religious too. We've talked a lot about lost people that deny the resurrection. I mean, that religious people that deny the resurrection, and they're just as lost as the person sitting in the bar today denying the resurrection. It's your choice. But because Christ is risen from the dead, because He has proved who He is, because He is the resurrection and the life, He's in charge of both resurrections. And you got a choice of which one you're going to be at. Will it be the resurrection of life, or will it be the resurrection of damnation? Your choice. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or will you just say, I don't need that? That's for everybody else, not me. Will you agree with God about who you are, or will you just say, nah, God's wrong, I'm right. I don't need Jesus. There's a lot of people in the world saying they don't need Jesus today. Some of them are actually celebrating Easter. In fact, a lot of them probably are, that don't really believe in a resurrection. But they'll be there. But it'll be the wrong one if they don't get saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day. I don't know anybody's heart but my own. And Lord, I just pray that You would help me to be a blessing and help this message make a difference. Father, You know every heart. If there's one that's lost today, Father, we pray for their salvation. We pray they just humble themselves and call upon the Lord and put their faith and trust in the fact that Jesus paid the penalty for their sins, and trust in Him and Him only as their Savior, and they call upon Him. And You have promised, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we thank You for that wonderful promise. You didn't leave any doubt. You said they shall be saved. Lord, I pray for their salvation. And help us who have trusted Christ our Savior rejoice every day in the fact that Jesus, that Christ is risen indeed. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to see it truly for what it is, and help us to get all the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that are available to us in this world as we look forward to the world to come and to that day of resurrection. Father, help us, we pray, to see it clear. Lord, help the lost to understand their need and see the solution that's in Christ Jesus, so that we might truly honor the fact that Christ is risen indeed. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.